Okay, so the recording started.
Okay.
Erev
Tov, good evening. In the shiur yesterday, we began to discuss some of the character of Asar B'Teves. And given the fact that this year, Asar B'Teves falls out on Friday, so I would like to examine from a halachic standpoint some of the backdrop for this issue of Asar B'Teves on Friday. We already mentioned that there are more paskins in Siman Tov Kuf Nun. We saw this already on page 5 of the handout. The Rambam speaks in general terms. If these four tzomos, if these four fast days fall out on Erev Shabbos, so he tells you Kriyas HaTorah and Mincha. But the truth is that this halacha is not really relevant to the fast days in general, but specifically has relevance to Asar B'Teves, because only Asar B'Teves, according to our calendar, can fall out on Friday, can fall out on Erev Shabbos. So now the question is, what does one do on Friday? That is to say, is one obligated to fast and be mashal mitzom, continue fasting all the way till the emergence of three stars, till Tesach Chavim? Or is one actually able to end the fast before Shabbos? Because if one continues to fast, one is fasting on Shabbos. And we mentioned yesterday that there is a distinction between Yom Tov and Shabbos regarding this matter. On Yom Tov, fasting on Yom Tov is an Issur min HaTorah. It's an Issur d'oraisa. The reason for that is because there's a mitzvah Simchas Yom Tov. There's an obligation to be Sameach, and the Gemara says, Ein Simcha Ela B'Basar V'Yayin. That how is that Simcha translated in terms of eating meat and drinking wine, even though the Bi'alocha and many other Achronim already comment that we can't really fulfill the Din d'oraisa of Simchas Yom Tov because they're referring to eating basar of kachim in the Beis Hamikdash, and we don't have that. But we do have the mitzvah of, as I mentioned already, of drinking wine. And there is an obligation to drink wine on Yom Tov, even Bizmanenu Anu, even every day of Yom Tov and every day of Chol HaMoed, which has a din of Mikra Kodesh. So that would be in contradiction to the idea of Tainus. One would not be able to fast on Yom Tov. That would literally be a direct collision with the obligation of being besimcha on Yom Tov. However, Shabbos is a bit more complicated because Shabbos, there is no mitzvah per se of simcha. We mentioned that there is a makor that Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal often quoted, a sifrei in Parshas Baaloscha, Uviyom simchaschem v'muadechem v'ashechachechem. So the sifrei comments, that's the medrash, that Uviyom simchaschem refers to Shabbos. But formally, there is no mitzvah of simcha on Shabbos. It's true, we say in the Zmiros, people have asked me in the past, Oneg v'gam simcha bohem l'moshcha. Undoubtedly, there's a simcha dika kind of aura to Shabbos, and there's an element of oneg, which is really the mitzvah that is operative on Shabbos. The kavasa la Shabbos oneg, the dosh Hashem mechubad, both mitzvahs are covered in oneg. Most assume that since these are based on divrei Kabbalah, psukim in Tanakh, the pasuk Yishayo, these are din and rabbanon. There are some rishonim who held that kavod v'oneg is a din d'oraisa. But generally, the assumption is that kavod v'oneg are din and rabbanon based on psukim in Tanakh, al piyah Kabbalah, the pasuk Yishayo that I just mentioned. So it would seem that the idea of fasting on Shabbos is not the same kind of collision that we have with fasting on Yom Tov. And we mentioned yesterday that this is the subject of a lot of discussion. The Gemara has, and this also is found in the Maran Mekomos, when the Gemara has a Masechah Shabbos and Daf Yud Aleph. So you can actually see it, that a person actually, if he has a Tainus Chalom, he has a bad dream, and he wants to fast on Shabbos, so he's permitted to do so. And the Gemara indicates that that's going to take place even Bo Bayom, even the very same day of Shabbos, that's when the fast is going to be had. So you'll take a look on page number 24. For those who have it, you can see the Gemara comments over there that Omar Rava bar Mechasya, Omar Rav Chama bar Guri, Omar Rav Yofa Tainis Tachalom Keishon Oris, Omar Rav Chizdo Bo Bayom, Omar Rav Yosef Afilu B'Shabbos. So there's a possibility of Tainis Chalom that can take place on Shabbos, ostensibly because the mitzvah of Simcha does not apply on Shabbos, and therefore there's no contradiction regarding the idea of fasting on Shabbos. And the Shulchan Aruch actually speaks of there were those Chassidim HaRishonim who had a practice of dafka fasting on Shabbos. But of course, that's not the ideal, unquestionably. But in terms of the contradiction, there's no contradiction.
Rabbi, isn't the halacha that if you fast on Shabbos, you have to fast to make up for the fast?
Yes, the Gemara said you have to be mashlim, so obviously it's not ideal. But in terms of the, is it an oxymoron for one to fast on Shabbos? The answer is no. Mashenken on Yom Tov, that would be a complete collision and a total contradiction. So what Rav Shua said is 100% correct. But you see, there is a distinction between Shabbos and Yom Tov. So now I want to examine the background for this issue. If you look on page number 19, you'll see the background, the Gemara in Ervin, on Daf Mem Aleph. The Gemara there tells us that we have a story that relates actually to Rabbi Akiva. And the Torah, the story that the Gemara relates is that Rabbi Akiva actually, the Gemara says, Goma Beitza Megulgeles B'Tisha B'Av Shechal B'Erev Shabbos. The case was Tisha B'Av that falls out. Take a look at the Gemara on top of the page, on Mem Aleph, and we'll read the whole Gemara so we can get to the piece that's relevant to us. The Gemara says, V'chein Erev Tisha B'Av Shechal Yos B'Shabbos, if the day before Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos, Ochel B'Shose Kol Tzorko, U'mal HaShulchan HaFilu Kisu HaShom B'Shato. That's also a well-known din. And it occurs from time to time where Erev Tisha B'Av is on Shabbos, so then one could obviously completely eat and drink in toto without any reservations. There are some residual halachic issues that are relevant, namely the issue of Avelos Petzina that is relevant because at the end of the day, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, that's what I'm referring to actually in the next situation. This first situation is Erev Tisha B'Av that falls out on Shabbos. So there, undoubtedly, we can really behave as if it's a regular kind of Shabbos without difficulty. The Gemara goes on, Chaliyos Tisha B'Av Erev Shabbos, Mevi'in Lo Kibetza V'Ochel Kedesh L'Ikonis V'Shabbos Shuma Uneh. This is what I'm interested in. What I just referred to a moment ago, if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, so then there are issues of Avelos Betzina that are Nohek, but essentially, we observe Shabbos in a regular way. Now the Gemara on line number 3, comments, what about Tisha B'Av falling out on Erev Shabbos? Mevi'in lo kibetza v'ochel. So you bring a person a kibetza and he eats it. Kadesh lo yikonos v'Shabbos shu ma'uneh. So now this is going into Shabbos. One should not enter Shabbos in a state of inui. So here already we have a reference to the halacha that's going to be relevant in one moment. And the Gemara goes on. Tanya Omer Rabbi Yehuda Pamacha Sayinu Yoshem B'Nei Rabbi Akiva. Tisha B'Av shechal yos b'er Shabbos oya. Tisha B'Av fell out on Friday. Ve'hiviu lo beitza megugelos v'gomah b'loy melach. They brought him a beitza, an egg, a kind of hard-boiled egg, and he ate it without salt. V'lo shehayotayiv lo. Not that he had a desire to have an egg. Rashi says that we're talking about beitza tzluya raka. It was roasted and made it somewhat soft. So he was able to swallow it. Obviously, it had been a hard-boiled egg. Wouldn't be able to swallow it. So it was now soft as a result of the roasting process. And he ate it without salt, not because he had a desire to do so. He wanted to show the din, as we'll see in a moment, what exactly the issue is. Namely, that's the issue. Can I go into Shabbos in a state of tainus when I'm still fasting? And Rabbi Akiva wanted to demonstrate that that's inappropriate. And therefore, he had this soft egg, dafka, right before Shabbos came into being, in order that he should not be in a state of inui on Shabbos. The Gemara continues, Rabbi Yossi Omer Misanu Mashlim. What's the position of Rabbi Yossi? He said, no, you have to continue fasting. You have to fast all the way till through Shabbos, till Tzei Sakuchovim. And this is the subject of a big machlokes that we'll see in a moment in the Poskim. And this is a very significant machlokes because, as I said, it's quite relevant to the issue that of Asar B'Tevis that this year falls out on Friday. So we have here, as you saw, a machlokes tanoim. Now there is the Tesis on top of the page here on Daf Mem Aleph. Ubeitza megulgelos. The Tesis writes, "Beferish Aben Chananel Kabbalah Biyadenu Kavarkiva Osa Shana Mesukin Haya." Tesis points out that here we have a very unusual situation. Namely, This is a Masera. When Tosfos says a Kabbalah, named Rabbi Hananel, that act that Rabbi Akiva did, namely swallowing the soft egg, did not come because he was teaching Halacha L'maisa to Talmidim as Rabbi Yehuda contended. That was Rabbi Yehuda's argument. But rather, Rabbi Akiva was unfortunately a Chole Mesukin. He was very, very sick. His life was in grave danger. And obviously the doctors at that point advised him that he should have this soft egg. He should eat this soft egg for therapy purposes, in order to be have ministrations in terms of his health condition, his health situation. So Rabbi Yehuda apparently was not medaktik regarding the event that occurred. And as Tyson says, he goes on to write, Rabbi Yehuda lo diktik lefikach samach al-mashera. He just was observing what Rabbi Akiva did. V'lo yada ha'ikar ama asakach. But he didn't really understand. He didn't know the background for Rabbi Akiva's behavior. He was not aware of it. So had he known, so obviously, then he would not have come to the conclusion that he came to. What we see from all this, again, is that we have a first and fundamental machlokas. And this machlokas has a lot of relevance, as I said, to this year, to Asara B'Teves, the 10th of Teves, that this year falls out on Friday. And now the question is, in terms of Halacha L'maisa, how exactly are we supposed to behave and what are we supposed to do given the fact that we have a machlokas in the Gemara, a very fascinating machlokas Tanoim. And we'll just read, if you look on page number 17, which is the end of this Gemara, so the Gemara says, the last few lines of the Perek, so the Gemara comments, V'hilchasa mis'anin u'mashlimim. The Gemara says, the halacha l'maisa, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to fast into Shabbos. We are mashlim, the tainus, even though we're entering Shabbos in a state of inui. So the question, of course, that has to be asked, what is the nature of this machlokes? So Tosfos right away asks the question. We'll read the Tosfos in one moment. But really the essential question is this machlokes, a machlokes in an area of chiyuv, where something is obligatory to be done, or the machlokes is an area of reshus, where something is optional? What I mean by that is the following. Rabbi Yossi, who says, Misaneu mashlim, does he mean that I'm chayev lahashlim? I'm obligated to go into the Shabbos in the state of Inui? I'm obligated to mashlim the tainus till Tesek Chavim? Or maybe he only meant misanu mashlim mutar li lahashlim, rashoy lahashlim. I'm allowed to do so, but not that it's obligatory to go ahead into the Shabbos and continue fasting. So there's a big enough kamina. Whether this is a chiyuv or whether it's a rashus. So Tosfos writes here, on page 17, if a person is desirous of continuing the fast into Shabbos, Tosfos presents the issue as being exactly the nature of what I discussed a moment ago. Is this an obligation or is it an option that a person has, and each one can make a decision in terms of what he is deciding, what he's going to do. So this issue that Tosfos raises is obviously a very significant issue. And halacha l'maisa, there's a big machlokes among the Rishonim and among the Poskim. If you look on page number 16, there you'll see a Mordechai. The Mordechai and many other Rishonim weigh in on this issue. In Siman Tov Tzadik Dalin, if you take a look at the Mordechai, so he writes the following lahalacha. He says, Hilchaso misanu umashim, kasu rabinu meir, da shlomas tainis be'er Shabbos sagi, ad lachat filas arvis, shimi plag hamincha ve'elech. He allows you to eat starting from plag hamincha. Now, plag hamincha is either an hour and a quarter before Tzetzik HaChavim or an hour and a quarter before Shkia. That's a big machlokes among the Poskim. But the Mordechai here quotes that there's a heter to eat already from plag hamincha. But then he goes on and tells us that what was the nature of the story that the Gemara describes. He says the following. And he writes, once the 10th day of Tevis, which of course is the fast we're talking about, took place on Friday. And he continues, he tells it that before he went to Shul, one of the Gedolei Rishonim, he went ahead and tasted from whatever item had been cooked, in order that it should not enter Shabbos in a state of being, in a state of fasting, in a state of inui. So right away, the Mordechai asks, V'teima, akama hachem misanu umashlim. Doesn't the Gemara say that you're obligated to complete the fast, to go into Shabbos? So how could this incident, how could this event occur? We have a clear Gemara. So the Mordechai goes on to say, V'yashlamar, the boy lahu, because that's the question. Ma'u lahashlim, umasik de misanu umashlim, klomar, yochalhu lahashlim imbirtzeh. If you wish, it's an option. If you want to go ahead and complete the fast and go into Shabbos in a state of fasting, you could do so. But it's ideal not to do so. One should not enter Shabbos in a state of inui, where one is fasting. And he writes, let's say the tzibur davens earlier. They came in the kvaris pavlim, came kvar kibu Shabbos aleim. That's the tzibur that daven early, so of course, perhaps they daven the early when it's still even light. They daven after plag, the helikab Yehuda, early Shabbos, as it's known here in Chutz Laaretz primarily, but also a bit in Eretz Yisrael. So then he indicates clearly that this is a chumrah. So it comes out the way the Mordechai presents it. He says, Tov shalo lahashlim. What he means is that this is an added chumrah. A person who is not mashlim, more than someone who's mashlim. And what should a person do? Ke'ilo, he should be misgabra al yitzro. He should control his yetzer hara, stop the tainus, be toim before Shabbos, and should not be mako to be mamshich the tainus into Shabbos. That's the nature of the chumrah, and that's the nature of the kula. Unbelievable, the way the Mordechai presents it. And this is also found in the comment of the Hagos Ashri, namely, that which I just saw in the Mordechai. And he also, after he passes the Gav Yossi, that Misanu Umashim, he explains, Im lo hishlim odiv tvei. It's better not to complete the fast. Better to eat before the onset of Shabbos. So he's in a similar position to that of the Mordechai. And many other Rishonim also quote a similar kind of position. I saw this in the Arzarua. I saw it in the Tashbates. And their assumption is, that it's better not to enter Shabbos in a state of inui. One should not be fasting on Shabbos. One should be toing before Shabbos. However, there are other Rishonim that disagree. And as I mentioned, that the Ramah Paskins in Simon Reish Mem Tes, we saw it in the shir that we gave yesterday. He Paskins, that one is obligated to fast till Tzeisak HaChovim. It's true there's a machlokes regarding a tainis yachid. An individual accepts upon himself a tainis, what should he do? If we're talking about on Friday going into Shabbos, so the position of the Mechaber Rabbi Yisrael Karo is that he should be mashim till Tzeisak HaChovim. The Ramah says a tainis yachid that the individual should stop b'bo yom. However, here, regarding the tainis tzibur of Asara B'teves, as I indicated, that here we have a massive machlokes among the Rishonim. So, as I indicated,
Especially if you take in consideration the yes from yesterday, the Abudraham and the Bahar.
That's right. The Bahar and the Abudraham. 100%. 100%. So, again, just the point I'm trying to simply note over here that Asar and Tavis is really a very unique kind of situation. It's, as we pointed out in the share, what Rabbi Weiss just mentioned a moment ago, that because the nature of Asara B'Teves, and let's just review for those who perhaps were not here, that the nature of Asara B'Teves is unusual. It's extraordinary because there are Rishonim, as Rabbi Weiss mentioned, the Bahag and the Abu Dram, who contend that we can't be doche Asara B'Teves to another day. Even if it falls out on Shabbos, we would have to fast on Shabbos. And the Abchaim Brisker explained this is based on the Pasuk Yecheskel and Perek Chavdalet, because there the Navi tells us, and it's similar to Yom Kippurim. Just like Yom Kippur, the dinners, if it falls out on Shabbos, we're obligated to fast, but it says, so too, with reference to Asar B'Teves, the Navi says, it says twice in the Pasuk, and even though we pointed out to the Mishnah, Megill and Afei, the Mishnah points out that if Tisha B'Av falls out on Shabbos, it's Nidchel Yom Rishon, we defer it to Sunday, and if that's the case, the Tisha B'Av, Kal V'Chomer, all the other tzomos, as Rashi points out on Daf Hei Amud Aleph, Rashi indicates this with reference to Yud Zayin B'Tammuz and with reference to Asara B'Teves. According to Rashi, as we saw yesterday, we mentioned that the Rambam Shita is also of a similar nature. You cannot have this fast on Shabbos. In other words, the Rambam and Rashi contend that Asara B'Tevis cannot, even if it falls out on Shabbos, we're not going to fast on Shabbos. We're going to defer it to Sunday. However, we saw two Rishonim, the Abu Draham and the Bahag, contend otherwise, that even if it's Chal on Shabbos, so we're not going to be Doche the Tzom to Sunday. So we have a very massive Chiddush of the Abu Draham and the Bahag, that they're more machmir when it comes to Asara B'Tevis, more than all the other Tzomos, more than Tisha B'Av. That's really an amazing statement. I saw the Beis Yosef in Tav Kuf Nun asked on this Abu Draham, V'lo yadati minayin lozeh. What's the makor? What's the source of this? Where did he come up with such an idea? And as I mentioned, that it would seem to be a very radically unusual kind of position. And I would venture to say even further, okay, we saw a svara from Rav Chaim Briska that says v'yetzer v'yom hazeh. And we also saw a svara from Yer Samech that the nature of the tainus is dafka tainus b'yom, and therefore here you can have it on Shabbos. But at the end of the day, just because it says v'yetzer v'yom hazeh l'gabei asara b'teves, we're now going to fast on Shabbos? Why should that alone suffice to go ahead and justify fasting on Shabbos? It would seem to be very incongruous. The whole idea of fasting on Shabbos is a very difficult kind of perspective. But that is what Rav Chaim Briska said. And as I indicated, and the Or Sameach also weighed in on this, but Halacha L'Maisa, the sheet of the Abu Draham, was not accepted. It was not accepted Lo L'Maisa and not La Halacha. And we mentioned the Rambam Paskins on page 3, Hilchos Tanios, Perakei Halacha Hey, all the four Tzomos are Nidche L'Achar Shabbos. All four are deferred till Sunday. And Rashi Megillah as well indicate that very clearly. And even though, as I said, there were two Gdoli, Achronim Yer Samech, and Ragon Rav Chaim Mibrisk, who essentially tried to find the basis for the position of the Abu Draham and the position of the Bahag, but Halacha L'maisa, that's not how we approach this matter. And therefore, the din seems to be very clear in terms of what we do. Namely, that our position is that it doesn't, we're not going to fast on Shabbos, but this year, the relevance is to, what are we going to do? Will we be mashlim the tainus, or do we eat before the onset of Shabbos? And of course, the answer is, we're going to be misanu mashlim. I saw, and I'll mention, because I discussed this with a number of people, I actually here cite in the Maamar Mekomos as well, there's a tshuva of Hagaon Rav Avadya Yosef Zatzal. He more or less summarizes the entire issue, and it's g'day to see that tshuva inside in the Chavad Das. On page number 7, page number 8, just will briefly overview the tshuva. On page 7, he was asked this question. Haim yesh chov lahashem atayne sh'asar b'tevish shechal b'yar Shabbos at seis? Should one continue the fast day in this asar b'tevish, namely, Tiltseis, or Ashrayim Lahafsik Atayis Bel Yom Lichvot Shabbos. So he quotes the Gemara in Erevin that we mentioned, and going on to page number 8, on top of the page, he refers to the story of Rabbi Akiva, who was given the Beitza Megugeles, and again, he refers to the Tesis and the Mordechai and the Rishonim that I spoke about earlier. And then, in the middle of the Tshuva, he says, L'halacha L'maisa, the last 5-6 lines, Zichin Pasik Maran HaShulchan Aruch, and that's the practice of Klal Yisrael. The practice of Klal Yisrael is that we fast all the way through Shabbos till Tzeisak HaKachavim. And then he quotes the last few lines in the Chavad Das, Kol Tainis Shalosh Shokol Avcham Aveno Tainis. That's also a famous Gemara in Masechet Tainis, that a full-fledged Tainis is when it goes till Shkiyas HaChama. And the Rabbi Yosef says that means Tzeisak HaKachavim. So halacha l'maisa, he writes at the end of Sikkun, tzorech lehisano su lehashlim tzom asar b'tevis af shechal b'er Shabbos. Halacha l'maisa, once you continue fasting into Shabbos, atzeis. But he tells us, shezeu kirev ashoa achas shkiyas hachama. This is a fascinating comment that I discussed with a number of people. Generally, the practice is to wait 20 minutes. That's what the Vilna Gaon held, that here in Eretz Yisrael, anyway, that you could daven Maariv 20 minutes after Shkia. Now, the truth is, see Pesach Frank, in his Sefer Kuntzus HaNeshef. He was a mechaber of many, many svarim. So he actually pointed out that really you could daven Maariv before 20 minutes after Shkia. If you have an area which is not polluted and you can actually see three intermediate stars, you'd be able to daven 7-8 minutes after Shkia. And of course, this is Dafkan Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't apply, obviously, in, as we spoke about in the past, in England or in the further northern parts that are really way beyond and the like. But he here indicates 15 minutes after Shkia, one can daven Maariv. Hashem Yisbarach Yafo Chesimei Atzomos Lassasim Lassimcha Namoadim Tobim V'Bias Mashiach Tzikeinu Meher B'Yameinu Amen B'Yamein. Okay, so more or less we have seen the Psak, which is of that of Rabbi Avad Yosef, and that's generally, as I said, how we assume, and as I mentioned as well, in terms of the Abu Dram and in terms of the Bahag, so that's not the position that Rav Deli HaRishonim decided to take. I want to raise another issue that someone actually asked me about, and therefore I decided to just touch on it somewhat. It's another very fascinating kind of issue, which has a bit of relevance, only because it applies to another situation. I'm going to extrapolate from there and apply it to Asara B'Tavis as well. We are fully aware that if you take a look in the Abu Dram, when it refers to Tanios, we mentioned this yesterday, maybe we'll just review it. He points out that these four tzomos are, from time to time, they are nidche, when they fall out on Shabbos, with the exception of Asar B'Teves, which is never chal on Shabbos, but it is chal sometimes on Friday. And he writes, you're supposed to fast on Friday. But then he indicates, as we pointed out, the whole shiur, that even if it were to be chal on Shabbos, you couldn't defer it to another day because it says be'etzem hayom hazeh. And then he goes further and he writes the Od, Yugimel ba'Adar shechal yos b'Shabbos. What about, we're talking about the 13th of Adar, the context of Purim. Magdim and musanim chamishi shuyal. So then we're going to move that tainus forward. Kilo yichol litchosel yom rishon shachar shabbos shuyom Purim. We can't defer it to Sunday, because Sunday is Purim. And as I mentioned yesterday, the nature of Tanis Esther is different than the other Tanias. The other Tanias are Tanias of Puranus, and therefore Agdumi Puranis Alom Kaminon, while Tanis Esther is the Tanis of Simcha, and therefore can be moved earlier. The Gam, he says, Biyom Shishi, on Friday I wouldn't be able to fast because of Slichos and Tachnunim, which would be inappropriate on Erev Shabbos. I won't be able to prepare for Shabbos in a proper kind of way. That's what he quotes in the Chumash Hagayim. So I saw in the Kolbo, I was looking around, and I saw one of the Rishonim in the Kolbo. You don't have it in front of you, but I want to read to you what he says regarding Tanis Esther, and then pose the following question. He says, V'imchal liyos b'Shabbos, if Tanis Esther falls out on Shabbos, Yud Gimel, Magdimin u'mesanim b'shishi shu'yud beiz ba'adar. So then you fast on Friday, Yud beiz adar. V'yesh magdimin u'mesanim b'chamishi, quotes an opinion that the Tanis Esther would be deferred back to Thursday. Why? Shein misanim be'er Shabbos. Because you're not allowed to fast on Erev Shabbos. Why not? Mipnei darkei ha'amori. Wow. A new element. He said there was apparently a practice among Ovdei Avodah Zarah, those who followed idolatrous rites, that they would fast on Erev Shabbos. And therefore, we should not go ahead and fast on Erev Shabbos because it would be darkei ha'amori. And maybe this might also be the basis. Again, I didn't look into it. I don't have an expertise in Christian practice, but I heard that there is such a practice of Notzrim, of Christians who fast every Friday, or they fast the day that he was, their savior was killed. But again, the question is, what about Asara B'Tavis now? That's what my interest is. Asar B'Tavis is going to the Abu Dram. It says Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh. But it could be the Kolbo said that it's not appropriate to fast B'Yom Shishi. It's Darkei Amori. Or should one say no, where it's written explicitly in the Pasuk Be'etzem Hayom Hazeh, so that Gzeiras HaKosuv overrides this so-called rationale of Darkei Amori. So what is the issue of Darkei Amori? And this is a very significant issue. It applies in a number of areas in Halacha. And I'm not going to go through the areas in Halacha. Perhaps another occasion, I'll be glad to discuss it. But you take a look in the Tesis of Avodah Zarah, maybe the most famous Tosfos in Shas that relates to this issue of Darkei HaAmori, what's considered to be Chukos HaAkum. People have a tendency, I'll just use this as a mashal. Often when they are not happy about something that's happening, they say it's not Shabbos Dik, and automatically it becomes Asur. Or they'll say it's Uvda Dechol. There are a thousand things they go ahead and decide to take that terminology and use it and apply it indiscriminately. And it's not so simple. Uvda Dechol is a very precise halachic term. It has to be defined with clear parameters. And so too, just to say that everything I don't like is Darkei HaAmori, or this is Chukos HaAkum, is also something that's bandied about a little bit too often. So Tesis HaMeir Zohar on Daf Yud Aleph, on page 25, you can see this Tesis. I'll give you where the relevance, at least in Eretz Yisrael here, for those who are, I'm sure all of us are aware of this issue. And it's a very vexing, contentious kind of issue. Namely, Yom HaZikaron in Eretz Yisrael. We have actually two different days. They are obviously connected. One is memorializing people who died in the Shoah, in the Holocaust. And the other is soldiers who gave up their lives defending the state of Israel, who are Mekadeshim Shamayim. And there is a concept here of a moment of silence where a siren actually is, a siren goes off. And here the practice in Eretz Yisrael is that people, even if they're driving, they'll stop driving, they'll get out of their car and they'll stand up. Or people who are even sitting, wherever they may be sitting, they stop for a moment of contemplation. And many have contended this is Darkei HaAmori. This is Chukos HaAkum. And one should not follow Chukos HaAkum. So let's look in Tosfos HaAvodah Zarah and let's see what Tosfos defines as what's considered to be Chukos HaAkum. So he writes over here on page 25, I underline the middle section. I'm not going to go through the whole Tosfos, but he points out, the Kach Pirush Ri, the Trei Gavni Chukah Habu, Echot She'osin L'Shem Chok La'Avodas Kochavim, Ve'Echot She'osin L'Shem Das Hevel U'Shtus Shalahem. And actually, there's a third rationale also found in Rishonim, namely something that's done, L'Shem Pritzos. So really, you have three different definitions of what constitutes a Chok, which is considered to be under the strictures of Chukos HaAkum. One, something which is for no reason. Tosfos defines that as what he calls something that's done, L'Shem Das, Hevel, U'Shtus Shalahem. Now, how do you define that exactly? That really, to a large extent, just like beauty lies in the eyes of the beholder, so Das, Shtus, Hevel, each one of us have our own definition of what's called Das, Shtus, Hevel. That which you do is Das, Shtus, Hevel. That which I do is Kedush Kadoshim. Obviously, it's sanctified. And whatever I do clearly has automatic and premature of the divine, of Hashem Yisbarach. So that's not an easy matter to define. Number two, but others explained if there's no rationale, no reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, that's considered to be something which is done, the shame, das hevel ushtus shelohem. A second, of course, if it's a chag lavad azorah, if it's an idolatrous rite, an idolatrous practice, that's for sure, also under not following the Chukos HaAkum. The third is something that's done, the shame pritzos, something that's lacking in modesty, that has certain immoral kind of cadence of tone to it. So these three are the definitions. So I've told this to many, many people that when the siren is sounded, I don't think that's a chayk l'avod azarah, nor do I think it's a shtus v'hevel. On the contrary, we're memorializing people who died in the Shoah, died in the Holocaust, the people who are mekadeshim shamayim, are giving up their lives so Klal Yisrael can live in Eretz Yisrael peacefully and live here in tranquility. They're defending us. They're acting in Mesiras Nefesh, what they're doing. So I don't believe. So you might argue with the particular hanhoga that was introduced. It's one thing to say that a person goes ahead and at a gravesite, and this is certainly non-Jewish practice in terms of flowers and things of that sort. That may very well be Chukos HaAkum, Darkei HaAmori. But here, when a person is just stopping in order to show their cheres, their respect for people who gave up their lives, I don't see that as being either chok l'avod azara, nor do I see that as being a chok l'pritzos, nor do I think it's das shtus hevel. Now, if you're really so frum, as people claim to be, so then you'll say Tehillim, then maybe you'll think over the Mishnayos in Erechin, you'll say over the Mishnayos in Uktin, or in Taros, whatever you're learning, because you're such a masmid that you don't want to miss a moment, chas v'shalom, that you should not be masiyach das, for living without Torah. That's wonderful. That's ideal. All of us should be of that madrega. I'm not of that madrega. And so if I'm driving, I will stop. But to go ahead and openly flout this because you hold it's a chayk l'avodah zarah, it's against this taisis l'avodah zarah daf yedal, which is called l'alocha shel aruch in Yerodeya. And I just wanted to comment on that. So now coming back to our issue, namely that what the Kolbo said regarding fasting on Erev Shabbos, is that considered to be a chok l'avodah zarah? And it's relevant to Asar HaBetevis. It's relevant to the fast day that we're talking about right now. The Kolbo says the Gabi Tani says that Shecholiot B'Shabbos is not Didcha L'Erev Shabbos because of Darkei Amari, because they fasted on Friday. So now we have to see, is this a chok l'avodah zarah? Or is it a chok of Minuk Shtus V'Hel Shalem? Is it a chok l'pritzus? So it's very unclear, and this needs much more investigation. I'm just raising the issue, and I think it's an issue that has to be explored somewhat. Again, I'm not an expert on Christological practices or any of that. It's not my area of expertise, Bichlal. So perhaps it has to be thrown iyun, what exactly the Kolbo had in mind. The reason why I say this, because it's relevant to another area of halacha that we're all familiar with, namely, on Erev Yom Kippur. There's a practice of Shlag Kaparis. Is the Machlag is the Machaber Amor? Is this called Darkei Amori and not Darkei Amori? So again, here also, where exactly is the Darkei Amori? It has to be explored historically. And I'm not a historian, nor do I have expertise in this area of Darkei Amori to know exactly whether this would be appropriate or not appropriate. But I know that in Eretz Yisrael, here you see, many have the practice of Shlag Kaparis. And even though this year, because of the corona, it was curtailed considerably. But I do recall I was approximately 5 or 6 years old, and my mother, Alei Shalom, would send me to the Schlachthaus, would send me to the abattoir. And there, I would essentially bring back a chicken. And the reason why I recall this story is because I was carrying the chicken through the streets of the Bronx, New York. The Bronx is one of the boroughs of the city of New York. And I was carrying it through the streets, and unfortunately, I was a young, very young man, very young boy, and the chicken ran away from me. And I started running through the streets of the Bronx in order to catch that chicken. That I do recall vividly. And I was worried that if I came back without the chicken, I'd be in a very difficult quandary, be in a difficult situation. And Baruch Hashem, I caught that chicken. I almost was hit by about 10 cars, but I did catch the chicken. So that was the key. That was the ikar. And I remember bringing it home. My parents, Aleihem HaShalom, they actually did kaparis with the chicken. And then I went back to the abattoir, to the Schlachthaus, where they shefted the chicken. And then my mother went ahead and made actually from that chicken, she made about 10 meals that we gave out to aniyim, that we gave out to poor people on Erev Yom Kippur. That's what we used to do actually on an annual basis on Erev Yom Kippur. That was the practice in our house. So I don't know if this fits into Darkei Amori. Could be historically there were points in time where maybe this was something that was practiced, that was a some sort of an idolatrous rite, but it has to be investigated carefully. And as I said, we shouldn't simply bandy about this idea that everything we don't like is Darkei Amori and automatically somehow is interdicted, is to be banned. So all this was just simply by way of trying to investigate. But halacha l'maisa, bottom line, that our practice is bein the mechaber, bein the ramah, misane umashlim. That we actually go ahead and we have to go and our position is to fast into the Shabbos. And maybe, as Rav Avadia Yosef pointed out in his tshuva, there we have the ability to wait 15 minutes. I understood that. I spoke to several rabbanim. Maybe we have to ask Rabbi Shor Shlita and other people of stature what the practice is in terms of waiting. Rabbi Avadia Paskin, that 15 minutes is sufficient. And other rabbanim told me you should wait minimally 20 minutes. I think they told me that. Lo plug, since generally we don't daven ma'ariv and eretz before 20 minutes after shkia. So they're afraid we start doing 15 minutes. People will not realize we did it because of Aser B'Teves. And they'll think now you can do 15 minutes. Because generally here, even though, as I mentioned, that Rav T. Pesach Frank Zatzal indicated that one could daven 7-8 minutes after Shkia if one sees three stars in an area that's not polluted. But Kamat, there's no area that's not polluted. Probably over there in South Africa, there are areas that are not polluted. It's probably there. It's Gagan Hashem, Keretz Mitzrayim, as they describe South Africa to me. So Kamat will be that there the situation is different than it is over here. But Hayotzi Mikol Dvareinu, I wanted to mention one last thing also, which is very significant with reference to Asara B'Teves. The Torah Shulchan Aruch writes that on the 8th of Teves, the story of Talmai HaMelech occurred. It means, according to Megillas Tainis, the Megillas Tainis writes that the world was plunged into darkness for 3 days. And Chazal, in Masechet Sofrim, in Perek Aleph, Zion there, explained that that event was as harmful for Klal Yisrael as the making of the Egel Azov. We're talking about the translation of the Torah into Greek, what's known as the Septuagint, the Targum HaShivim. Ptolemy, the king of the Hellenized Greek culture, Egyptian empire, gathered 72 Gedolei Yisrael. He put each one into a separate room without revealing his plans to them. Each one was in total seclusion, and he commanded them to translate the entire Torah into Greek. That's why it's called Targum HaShivim, the Septuagint, because approximately 70 Talmidei Chachamim made this translation. So in the course of the project, there was a tremendous nest that occurred. The Gemara says in Megillah, Daf Tesa Med Aleph, it's quoted in Masechet Sofrim, that all the Talmidei Chachamim translated the entire Torah in the identically same way. And to me, this miracle is so miraculous. It's literally a nes, which is absolutely wondrous. And as a Rebbe of mine once told me, he said, just he wanted us to appreciate this nes. I think I was in eighth grade. And this Rebbe learned in the Mir Yeshiva. And the Shirim were all in Yiddish. So he told us, ask two people to translate the same pasuk and see how different the two versions are going to emerge, unquestionably. And even two Nevi'im, who see the same Nebuah, describe it differently. That's the Gemara Tzahedin, Daf Tzadik Tes Amud Aleph. Ein Shnei Nevi'im Misnavdim Misignal Echad. You don't have the same signal. So now multiply this experiment by the thousands of Pesukim and Chumash, take into account 72 different people, each making their own translation. So there's no question the result will be Nisei Nisei. Incredibly miraculous. Take a look at the Sefer HaTodah. He's the one who actually used this mashal, and it's a very beautiful mashal. So not only was there no variation, which itself is beyond imagination, but even a greater ness occurred. All 72 Talmidei Chacham realized there were parts of the Torah that could not be translated in a literal kind of way, because he might misunderstand the literal translation. For example, to translate Bereishis Bara Elokim could have been misunderstood to mean that some entity called Bereishis, Chas V'Shalom, created Hashem. So they all translated, Hashem created the beginning. That's how the Gemara writes in Megillah. And in this case, and in 12 other cases, all 72 Talmidei Chachamim realized that it altered the translation. And it's really amazing. For example, the most famous, or one of the most famous one, that his wife, Ptolemy, her name was the Greek translation of Barnabas, which is a hare, H-A-R-E. And they were concerned that Talmai might not appreciate the fact that his wife's name is that of a non-kosher species. So they substituted a description for the hare rather than naming it. So it's amazing, this entire discussion that Chazal have in Masechet Megillah and Masechet Sofrim. And the question, of course, is why did this translation plunge the entire world into a state of choshech, into a state of darkness? Take into account the miracles that occurred. Surely such miracles perhaps deserve instituting a Yom Tov and not a national day of Avelos, not a day of mourning. And why is it compared to the Chayr HaEgel? So again, according to the Sefer HaTodah, he explains that the reason why this was considered to be a tragedy, because before the Torah was translated, he suggests that any goy interested in true morality only had one address, namely, he had to join the ranks of Klal Yisrael. There was no other place in the world for a person to learn the basis of true morality. Once the Torah was translated, then a non-Jew could feel that I could have morality without learning it from the Masorah, from the Jewish Masorah. And that can be compared to the day when the Egel Hazor was created. In an attempt to find a substitute for true Torah and true Manhigos, Klal Yisrael placed the belief in something absolutely unsubstantial. And similarly, the Torah's translation provided people with a mistaken interpretation of true morality. And I think we understand it when we look at the headlines of today, we see what's going on in the world of today, that could easily be understood without much difficulty. But if you take a look at Masechet Sofrim and Perek Aleph, and you look there in Zayin Ches, it seems to present a different conception that implies that the Targum HaShivim was not what plunged the world into darkness. Prior to that translation, Talmai HaMelech had gathered 5 Zkenim to translate the Torah into Greek, and that was the day that the Masechet Sofrim says that was as difficult for Klal Yisrael as the Egel Azov. Doesn't tell us what was wrong with the translation. We can only conjecture, but there was something obviously very serious. And then he gathered 72 Talmidei Chacham for the miraculous story of the Targum HaShivim. And you don't see critique in the Masechta Sofrim of the Targum HaShivim. That you don't see actually in a direct kind of way. Let me just mention, by way of Siyum, the other two. The ninth of Teves is the yard sign of Ezra HaSofer. Ezra HaSofer was the Gadol HaDor at the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. And matter of fact, I saw in the Sefer HaTodah, he writes that the ninth of Teves is the yard sign for both Ezra and Nehemiah. Doesn't mention what the mocker for that is, what the source for that statement is. But the Ber Heitev and the Aruch HaShulchan and the Mishnah Berurah Kodei, one of the slichos that begins with the word Eskira that we say on Asiri B'Teves, that's the source, that's the mocker for this information. I heard that also from Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal. He said, often slichos, if they're studied carefully, which he used to do, he studied slichos with a fine-tooth comb, and he pointed out that there you'll see much, you have a cornucopia of information, and that is where we have the mocker for this notion that Ezra Nehemiah, in fact, that was their yard side. When Ezra came to Eretz Yisrael from Babel, so of course we know he found that the Jewish people were lax in many areas of Jewish observance, and he improved the spiritual state of Klal Yisrael and established many takanos that apply even today. And with his ptira, we lost a massive, a major force, and we fell to tremendous depths. And unfortunately, his day, therefore, was established as a Yom of Avelos. And the Megillas Tainis actually tells us the outside of some of the Viyim, Moshe Rabbeinu, Miriam HaNeviyah, Aaron HaKoyen, Yeshua Ben Nun, Shmuel HaNavi, and Rashi actually has in Yavamis, and Dav Kuf Chavezim and Al, Rashi writes over there that the Yartzeit of a Tzaddik should be observed by gathering together to learn Torah in his honor. That's what, often what we do today. We learn Mishnayos, we finish Masechtos, we certainly engage in Limud HaTorah. That's the idea of a Yartzeit Shir, or what the Chassidim call a Yartzeit Tish. The whole object is to teach Torah and to learn Torah together. And Yartzeit is a time for tshuva, a time for hisbonenus, a time for reflection. And it has in it several halachas of mourning. There's a well-known shach, and this shach is not often, are people aware of this, besides the Ramah, who says that there's a inyan to fast on the yartzeit of a parent. That's quoted in Shulchan Aruch in Yerodea by the Ramah. It's also quoted in Aruch Hayim. It's also quoted by the Gaon in Yerodea. But in effect, there's a shach that writes that the night of the yartzeit, that one should not eat meat. What should I eat? A shever brachas. People actually sometimes will go to a bris, a pinyan ben, or a siyum. However, that in terms of going to a wedding and eating meat, the shach said that's inappropriate. Anyway, you see that here we have some rather red letter events that occur in the 8th day of Teves, the 9th day of Teves, and of course the 10th of Teves. That's when the matzar, the siege that culminated in the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, and that's what we're going to have this coming Friday on Asar B'Teves. Okay. So we see that Asar B'Teves is a very, is a day saturated with a lot of, at least before it, then after it, then on it itself, saturated with a lot of very, very significant events that occurred. And therefore the day has to be taken certainly with the proper degree of Kovid Rosh that we should approach any tightness. But as I said, specifically Asar B'Teves that falls out on Erev Shabbos, and here we fast on Erev Shabbos and we misanu umashlem into the Shabbos itself. So obviously the day has to be treated in a very unique and significant kind of way.
Thank you. I thought I recalled the sheet of the cross being 13 minutes after Shkia.